Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for choosing to be here this evening. And tonight we're going to go into part two of a character study I did on Samuel. And a quick recap of the first study I did on Samuel is Samuel, his birth was centered in earnest prayer from his mother Hannah. His mother very much desired to have children, and she struggled with that, but she earnestly prayed to the Lord and made a commitment to the Lord that if she could have children, then she would commit that child to service of the Lord all the days of his life. And that's exactly what she did. Samuel's life was dedicated fully to the Lord. And at a young age, Samuel left living with his parents and was under the training of Eli, the priest. And we covered a lot of really good characteristic traits of Samuel in that first study, and a lot of those we'll cover again in this study, as a lot of them are the same, but there are a few different ones that we're going to take a look at. So Samuel was recognized by Israel as a prophet and as a priest, and during Samuel's time here was very influential with the Israelites, as this was a point in time where Israel was transitioning from a time of being ruled over by judges to being ruled over by a king. And Samuel, being a prophet and being the priest at that time, he told the children of Israel how much they should not do that, and they should not desire to have a king. They are transgressing against God. God was their king, but unfortunately, they felt like God wasn't enough, and they wanted an earthly king. And while Samuel told them how much of a bad idea that was, and they weren't going to like that, Israel still decided that's what they wanted to have done anyway. And so Samuel is essentially tasked with mediating this transition, and he is appointing Saul as king. So our first reading will mostly be in 1 Samuel this evening. So if you want to turn to your Bibles there, 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 11. So it was on the next day that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch and killed Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it happened that those who survived were scattered, so that no two of them were left together. Then the people said to Samuel, "Who is he who said, 'Shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death.'" But Saul said, "Not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they made sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. So while Samuel had told Israel, "You don't want a king, you're not going to like it, but even though you're not going to like this, God allowed this to happen." And so as Saul is becoming this person, this is his first battle with or for the Israelites, and he's victorious. He wins a great victory. So unfortunately, the Israelites at this point are kind of justified in their thought and their desire to have a king, even though they're not heeding the warning of Samuel. And Samuel cares very deeply about Israel, and he wants, of course, wants the best for them. But he can't move past the truth, and he can't walk away from the truth, and that is that this isn't what they need. But instead of walking away and leaving the Israelites, Samuel sticks with them, and he still wants the best for them. Continuing on in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20, "Then Samuel said to the people, 'Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord. But serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." Samuel continues to warn Israel about this king that's going to rule over them. However, Samuel continues to earnestly pray for Israel and says, "Far be it from me that I should sin by not praying for you, by not caring for you." And this is the first characteristic trait I want to look at with Samuel, and that's caring and praying for enemies. Now, I'm not saying that Israel was an enemy of Samuel's. I'm not saying that at all, but they definitely pushed back against him, and they resisted Samuel. Even though he was a prophet and a priest, and what he was telling them was from the Lord, they still pushed against him. But nonetheless, Samuel still cared very deeply for their well-being. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." We as Christians can take this example from Samuel, and we must care for those people who are against us. And this is particularly difficult when there's divisions amongst us, and especially in whether it's somebody maybe that has different political views than you do, or parenting views, or whatever it may be. That's incredibly difficult, or especially if there's someone who's done you harm, or your kids, or your wife harm. It's incredibly difficult to want to pray for those people. But regardless, we need to emulate Samuel in that way by still caring for and still wanting the best for everyone, even though they may not see eye to eye with us. So continuing on in our story, skipping down to chapter 13, verse 5. This is Saul is well established as king of the Israelites at this point, and this is yet another battle. But at this point, it is with the Philistines. So chapter 13, verse 5. "Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves and thickets and rocks and holes and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling." So while this is a character study over Samuel, Saul is such a big part of this story, he's going to be referenced quite a bit. So leading up to this next point I'm going to make is that there's this big battle about to happen, and the Philistines have all these thousands and thousands of people, and the Israelites are scared. They're running for cover, and they're hiding in holes and in pits and in the rocks, and they're getting out of there. They're not wanting to hang around for what looks like this battle is probably going to be. And Saul sees this happening and does a very bad thing. He panics. In chapter 13, verse 8, "Then he being Saul, waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, 'Bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me,' and he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him." So Saul, being this king, being this leader, and needing to hold fast, whatever it may be, even in the sight of this very daunting battle about to begin, Saul panics, and he doesn't wait for Samuel to arrive like he should have. And under his panic, Saul sacrifices a burnt offering. And this was not allowed. Saul was not allowed to make this offering. Samuel was the one to make this offering. But Saul, through his fear and his loss of faith, he panics and he jumps the gun. And Samuel arrives just as this is happening, and Samuel, he He tells them all about it, about how Saul's done wrong. In verse 11, "And Samuel said, 'What have you done?' Saul said, 'When I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering.' And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you.'" So Samuel tells Saul all about it and tells him how he's done wrong. And now Samuel's kingdom will not reign over Israel. It's going to come to an end. Samuel has brought this upon himself, and Samuel has to be the one to tell him this and bring him this message. So the next characteristic of Samuel I want us to look at is how bold and how tight Samuel holds to the truth, even in this scenario. So I wanted to break this scenario down a little bit and, you know, who Samuel is talking to at this point. Well, he's talking to Saul, who is a king. He is the leader of what I presume to have been a great number of battle-hardened soldiers and guards and whatever all else. And later, we find out that Saul turns out to be very crazy and very irrational. But nonetheless, Samuel tells him how it is anyway. And he delivers that bad news to him because of his boldness and his strict adherence to his faith and his belief in God. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." We as Christians need to emulate this from Samuel and his boldness of speaking the truth. Even when it's difficult, even when it may be uncomfortable or could bring us harm, we must speak the truth. Now, I'm not talking about speaking the truth of if someone has, you know, bad breath and you want to tell them about it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the truth of that we find in Scripture and the truth we find in the New Testament. That's what we need to boldly speak in whatever situation we may be in. So now continuing on, some time has passed at this point. The declaration that Saul will no longer be king, it's still going to come true, but at this point, Saul is still king over the Israelites. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1 through 3, "Samuel also said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey.'" So again, Samuel brings a pretty stiff message to Saul, and this is directly from the Lord. Now, Samuel, he's a prophet, he's a priest, he's a deeply religious man. And I could only imagine that bringing this gruesome of a message might be difficult for him. But Samuel never changes that message. He doesn't water it down. He doesn't just take the parts that he likes or thought that they should do. He brings the whole message, no matter how rough it may have been. Samuel wasn't worried about offending the Amalekites. He brings the message directly from the Lord. And that message was never compromised. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32. "Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left." We as Christians cannot compromise the Word of God and compromise the truth that we find specifically in the New Testament. It's very common in our society today for that truth to be compromised and for people or various religious organizations to only pick the bits and pieces of the verses that they like and disregard the rest. But we can't compromise that message, just as Samuel did not compromise that message. Continuing on in verse 7, "And Saul attacked the Amalekites, from Hivalah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. So I want to take a little bit of a sidebar here and look at what Saul did in this scenario. You know, we just read, kill all the Amalekites, all the people, all the kids, all the livestock, all the Amalekites, and anything Amalekite related, God directed Saul to destroy it. However, Saul and Saul's people, on their own account, with their own decision-making, decided that they would take the king prisoner and to keep any of the livestock that had some value. And then they destroyed everything else. And the point, the message here is partial obedience is still disobedience. So I'm no military man, but I understand that military ribbons are worn above the center, above the left pocket, an eighth of an inch above the pocket. That's the rule. That's the standard, you know. So what's the importance of the eighth of an inch? What does that have to do with anything? Well, it doesn't. It's a made-up number, but it's a fact that's the standard, and that's the expectation. It's expected to have the ruthless adherence to the standards. God gave a clear command, and he expects that command to be adhered to and to be obeyed, not just partially. God doesn't want us to just get close or just get most of the way there, or just kind of get there, obey most of the commandments, but to obey all of them and fully, and for us to be fully obedient to God. But unfortunately, that's not what Saul does. And once again, Samuel finds himself in as the messenger to tell that to Saul. In chapter 15, verse 22, so Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Samuel brings a very, very deep message to Saul that you've rejected the Lord, now he has rejected you from being king. And obedience is better than sacrifice. Again, God wants our full obedience in following and loving him. And we don't get to pick and choose. We don't get to just pick the verses that we like. The inspired word of God says marriage is between a man and a woman. We have to be obedient to that command. The inspired word of God says husbands must love your wives. We have to be obedient to that command. Wives, submit to your husbands. We have to be obedient to those commands, not just the ones that we like. Sometimes those are difficult, but it doesn't matter if they're difficult or we don't like them. We must be fully obedient to God. We must be slaves to obedience to God. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, that you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? We must be slaves to obedience. And continuing in chapter 15, verse 32, then Samuel said, bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Again, this goes a step further on tough things that Samuel had to do. So first thing, Saul put Samuel and everyone in this position by not obeying God and his directive. And I can only imagine Samuel being a priest and a religious man, this probably wasn't the high up on his priority list of things that he wanted to do. But Samuel, with his strict adherence and to the standard and to being obedient to God, he has to step up and take care of business. And we need to do the same thing. Now, thankfully for us, we will never be commanded to go and hack somebody to pieces or to go and bring some type of destruction on somebody like that. We live under the new law, under the peace and grace and mercy of Jesus, but we are commanded to do some things that might make us uncomfortable. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." I'm sure that this was definitely stepping out of Samuel's comfort zone to have to take care of this task. We as Christians should be willing to be in uncomfortable situations to further the kingdom and to spread the gospel and to step out of our comfort zone to benefit those around us. And again, benefiting those around us in a spiritual manner, in a spiritual way. And sometimes that's going to be uncomfortable. Just recently here, I've come up with this idea, and I haven't quite done it yet, but I can't help but notice when we are at a restaurant that there's lots of times at other tables, there's kids on their phones and parents on their phones, and everyone's ignoring each other. And I've thought for a long time, I need to go say something to those people. I need to be nice about it, but you know, they need to hear this message. So I'm actually in the process of having some little cards made with a little message on them that I can go and give to people at a table that might be doing something like that. And you know, it might be a little uncomfortable, but that nonetheless, that message needs to be spread. So I encourage you to step out of your comfort zone and spread the gospel, especially if it's something that's been on your mind and you know that you need to do. I encourage you to do so, as Samuel was willing to do so. So now that this has happened, now that Saul has not obeyed God, it's kind of the last straw. Now it's time for Saul to be out, and David is now going to be the king over Israel. Moving on to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.' And Samuel said, 'How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me.'" So again, we see Samuel in a distressful situation. But what does Samuel do? Skipping down to verse 4, "So Samuel did what the Lord said." So regardless of Samuel's personal feelings or the fact that he may be killed or be hurt or whatever it may be, he still did as God commanded. And he had faith in God that was the correct move. And he was fully obedient to God and God's message. So out of all the things we studied about Samuel, I want us to take away this one thing. And that Samuel was always willing to do what the Lord told him to do. And didn't matter if he thought it was a good idea or a bad idea, if he liked it or not, Samuel always did what the Lord told him to do. So I want you to envision your name in this slot up here like it was in verse 4. And I want you to think, if someone said this about you, is it true? Would it be accurate? And I hope and pray that it is. So this evening, I want us to think about Samuel, not only this evening, but when we're out in the world, I want us to think about Samuel and his obedience and his how close and how tight he followed the word of God. And we as Christians need to follow that same word, specifically the word and the commandments that we find in the New Testament and we find in Scripture. So this evening, we never want to end the lesson without offering an invitation. If you're ready to be baptized and make that commitment in your life, I encourage you to do so this evening. And if not, if you have prayers or needs of the church, please come forward and let your needs be known while we stand and sing.